Hulk Hogan was a cartoon
Lock
figure.
Hulk Hulk
figures. Here we go. Oh, here we go. And away we go. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the Twin Super Cities, a Millennium and Paragon Cities. It's time for Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogoman. It's Monday night. Let's get to it. I get by with the help of my friends. And by the way, before I bring them on, I just got back from the Spider-Verse. Yes, I saw the new movie today. Go see it. I'm going to try and give a spoiler-free review in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. But anyway, as I was saying, I could buy with a little help from my friends. No, it's not a Spider-Verse character. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just say he is Mad Viking.
It's a Vince world after all. It's a Vince world after all. It's a Vince McMahon world.
You better explain that one to everybody, because I cannot
just
believe it.
News just came over the wire while I was waiting for Pokemon to show up that Disney is interested in buying the WWE.
Good Lord.
So just think about this. That happens. You're going to go to Space Mountain in Disneyland or Disney World. And instead of hearing the traditional, please welcome to and step aboard here, you're going to hear, woo! Whether you like it or you don't like it, get in the seat and keep your arms and legs in the ride. Woo!
Because it's the best thing going today. Shortest ride, longest line. Woo! Remember, these are quotes from the man who used to refer to himself as Space Mountain himself.
God.
Oh, God. I could see him outside greeting people. Can you imagine writing this thing and looking up and seeing, like, his face plastered somewhere in the darkness? Like, who is this? Of course,
you'll
you have
see,
to use
the
right
to
from
the
80s.
The Rock. You'll be able to see The Rock what was that one that they did? It was one of the rides on Disney World. They just made it to a movie, and I can't think of the name for the life of me.
Momoa? Because that's his character. That's
it's one of them. No, it was a live action. But
okay.
It was based on one of the rides.
Oh, the island. Mystery Island?
No.
Which mountain?
No. Well, that would work, but no.
The Tooth Fairy?
Hold on. Rock Disney movie. Wonder type. Jungle Cruise.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Dude, I just saw that last year. That would be funny. Yes. I just can't believe Disney is interested in buying the WWE.
Oh, hold on.
Just came over the news wire 15 minutes ago. But just because they're interested doesn't mean they're going to sell. Because think about this. Well, they actually.
Here we go. Disney reportedly made bid for WWE broadcast right, but for FX rather than for ESPN.
That's true. But right, because Disney owns ESPN. They don't own FX. Do they own USA Network?
I'm not sure.
Try and think what they own. Right, because FX and Fox.
It's easier to think what don't they own.
That's what I'm saying these days. It's ridiculous.
I mean, they have all of Fox but Fox News. They have all Fox. They got Star Wars. They got Envy.
Wait, Disney owns Fox now, except Fox News?
Exactly. So Fox Movies and
TV. So they own the Fox Network. They own FX because that's all Fox. Well, shit. They already air WWE on half their networks. I mean, the only thing they don't know, the USA airs Raw, which is on right now, and then tomorrow night NXT. So that's while they air one third of the shows. So, but the problem is, who won't wait? Does Disney own NBC?
No, ABC.
No, no, because NBC owns Peacock, and that's what the WWE Network is on. You know, with
at the moment. At the moment.
At the, right, at the moment, right. That would be so weird. That would be just so friggin' weird.
And that's the bottom line. Mickey Mouse said so.
Said so. Stone Mouse Cold said so.
There's gonna be so many jokes.
Oh. Did you see, speaking of The Rock, did you see the latest GIF going around this weekend?
No.
What was it? Black Adam bombed at the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he owns the XFL. They lost $60 million their first year or something like that, right?
Well, because it was hit with COVID.
Right. Right. So they said this year, but hold on. He said he would never work with Vin Diesel again. He's now contracted, a new contract, to go back to finish up the movie franchise, right? And there was something else. Oh, the show, the Rock show on NBC, I missed the last half of the last season. The Young Rock got canceled for season three. And it's like, let's face it, he hit rock bottom. And there's a picture of somebody, I forgot who it is, it's giving him the rock bottom in the ring. It's like his life just hit rock bottom. But to be fair about the XFL, they are scheduled to make $100 million this year. But hey, do what you got to do. You know, you might as well finish the franchise out. There's two movies left, so. But it's just funny. It's like we're gonna do ten movies. Asterisk, because the 10th movie in the Fast and the Furious franchise, we're gonna make it a trilogy. What? And I don't know if you heard about Michelle Rodriguez. She made a comment about how many Marvel movies are they going to make. There's a whole universe of comic book characters there, and everybody turned around and said, well, how many friggin' Fast and Furious movies are you going to make?
No, I think she's going to switch gears because of the success of Dungeons & Dragons. I think she's actually going to switch gears.
I'm surprised that movie didn't do as well in the theaters.
Actually, it did pretty well in comparison to the others. It's probably going to pick up once it gets to streaming, DVD, Blu-ray.
Well, it's on streaming. It's already on. I watch it on streaming already.
Mm-hmm.
It's already on Paramount. So we'll have to see what happens.
Well, hold on. Now, let's see.
Remember,
Dungeons and Dragons, let's see. Did it make, did it break? Honor Amongst the Thieves? If it succeeded, then we have a winner.
It was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. They gave it, they gave it a 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, that it was. I mean, okay, out of the Dungeons and Dragons movies, that was the best one by far.
Mm-hmm.
That's not saying a lot about the other ones, because the other ones sucked. Even the first one that came out.
Here we go. It grossed $93 million in the United States and Canada, won $114 million in other territories, for a total of $208.2
million. Mm-hmm. How much?
They're calling it a success.
All right. I thought it would make more than that, but you know what it was? It was also the...
Here we go. Future. Spinoff television series is being talked about. Um, Most likely to continue character establishment and honor among seasons, return to the D&D world. The audience knows that we can jump to the plot more quickly. Yet, there is talk, the potential of a film sequel.
Yeah. And remember all the merchandise. Did we have the numbers from the merchandising yet?
Not that I see yet. I can't give an honest answer.
All right. But remember, this movie was coming out. Ticket sales started right about the time the OGL fiasco started or was ending. Mm-hmm. So, can you really say? What can you really say? Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I was worried about with this movie. Like, it could be a great movie, but a lot of people weren't going to go see it because of the OGL, for that D&D movie. And I bet you they rescinded that about the OGL because when Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves were coming out, that's when they said, oh, no, we're taking it back. And I was waiting for, by the way, please go see our movie when it came out. Because people were across the internet were saying, boycott the D&D movie because of that gaming license that changed. So,
and let's face it, amongst a good cast, amongst a good story,
yeah,
there was the nostalgia grab. And
yeah,
you know
right at the
which
end of the
scene
movie.
I'm talking about.
Yes, and also, if you look online or if you watch it streaming, you could pause the end credits. At the end of the cast, they're named. All six of them are given the names of the characters. I was like, oh, that's cool. They give them the names.
Only complaint,
so there you go.
The only complaint in the style of comic book guy, well, why didn't they have Uni? You cannot have a buddy without Uni.
I know. Well, maybe no pets were allowed out there. Hold on, sir.
They could have CGI'd.
Because I don't think any pets were allowed in the maze. That's all it was. So there you go. The rules of the game that we're talking about. If you saw the scene we talked about a few weeks ago, Sid, you can't have your little pets running around with you to help you. So there you go. Yeah. We don't know what the rules. I just want to know that.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to know that other group. Were they just supposed to be a generic group? Were they supposed to represent Neverwinter player? You know, Neverwinter.
Looking at them, I'm going to say it's Elminster's group in the Forgotten Realms books.
Really? I didn't see them
now,
by name.
There's never been a true depiction of the cast,
Right.
Yeah, you might have a few glimpses and bits, but it wasn't a full thing. But it's like I saw a little bit that kind of reminded me it could have been Elminster's group from the book.
But you know what? I'm going to IMDb right now. Because they would have the full cast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on. We're going to the cost. Yes, I said cost.
Because remember, Elminster is Elminster and every other thing of the Forgotten Realms. Since it was set in the Forgotten Realms, you had to bring in, Torm and all Elrond and all of that gang.
Right. Yeah, we got Hank, we got Presto, Sheila, Eric, Diana, and Bobby. Oh, then we have a ranger contestant, a rogue contestant, cleric contestant, barbarian contestant, wizard contestant, and a dragonborn contestant. So generic.
I'm going to say that's Elminster's group from the books. I'm going to call it. Until someone can prove me otherwise. Well,
they didn't have Dragonborn until recently, so...
Yeah, but
as far as I know,
going on for some time. Come on.
Which is the Elminster series, because I read the first Elminster book, and I kind of got a little sick of it. Because it was like every chapter was like, and as luck would have it, you know, it's like, gee, I wonder how he's going to get out of this one. Instead of making him, like, showing how powerful he is as a wizard,
I want
it was
to say
like,
the related,
as luck would
I want to say it's
ahead.
Like the Harpers.
Oh, I've read some of the Harpers here. I read those way back when, but that wasn't him. He was hardly in a lot of those. He wasn't in any of those, most of those, if I remember. But, like, his book himself, like, the one that was supposed to be about the origins of him, it, like, you know, and a lot of people I talked to back then who read him at conventions, I talked to, like, you know, it would have been cool if they had done this. If they had shown him being a crafty, cunning wizard, you know, like, even though he was just building himself up. Oh, now I'm looking this up.
All right,
oh, Jesus.
See.
Oh, no. His class is, ready for this? Elminster, fighter, rogue, cleric, wizard, archmage. Chaotic good. I believe that. Okay, now. Okay, I'm looking at the Elminster. Right. I read the book, Elminster, The Making of a Mage, the first one. Then there was Elminster and Mithranor, the temptation of, holy shit, how arrogant, the temptation of Elminster, Elminster in Hell, and Elminster's Daughter. All right. Wow, he was also known as the One Who Walks, and eventually the Sage of Shadowdell. Right, I read the first one. Oh, then there was the annotated Elminster. It's an anthology of the first three books in the series. Elminster Must Die in 2010. Bury Elminster Deep. Elminster Enraged. The Herald. Spellstorm. Death Masks. Came out in 2016.
Oh, God.
Holy.
Well, it'll be found. It'll be found.
I'm
going to
say
it.
I think the word I'm looking for is hagiographic. And to make sure that's the word I'm looking for, I'm going to look that word up again. I've used that once before. And somebody said I was incorrect.
All right. Well, anyway.
Never mind. It's basically the writing of the lives of saints, or biography that idolizes its subject. Yeah, that's what I felt like the first book was. It made him like, but it was like, as luck would have it, the god of magic favored him, or the goddess of magic. This goddess was just looking down upon him in favor and got him out of the situation. And that's how it kept going on from there. It was like, look, a hero is like, can he get out of the situation on his own? Is that freaking possible? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where we lost somebody. We lost a silver egret.
Yeah. But we also have other news, and, well, since this is some of the subject, so a nice segue to it.
Okay.
We're going to lose a popular Marvel character.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Woke Generation. You putzes, you schmutzes, you yendes. You need to wake the bleep up. I'm sorry. This is just ridiculous BS as far as I'm concerned. Wake up, the whole bunch of you. Just wake up already. This is just a bunch of ridiculous bullshit.
Well, let's get to into the story here. Marvel is planning to kill the Punisher.
Yep, you heard it. You heard it.
And it is based off of what he was talking about, basically the situation of there's no other way to say it. It's a woke situation. They note that, you know, the Punisher is a quote unquote a favorite to cops and conservatives. In the storyline, what's going to happen? They're going to kill off Frank Castle, and not only that, but also to lay a guilt trip on the process of being killed by being visited by the ghost of his wife, who says she is ashamed that he's done all what he did since 1974 in her name. Now, if you are unfamiliar, and we do have a younger generation that is unfamiliar with the story of Frank Castle, the abridged or the Cliff Notes version, basically Frank Castle, Vietnam warrior, comes home, goes to his family, has a picnic, is in the crossfire of a mafia war, wife and son dies, and
now
Frank
they're killed. Well, they're killed.
Yeah.
Right.
They're killed. And Frank Castle goes on a punishment spree. Hence the Punisher.
Right. He goes on a spree. He goes on a vengeance vendetta in the name of his child and wife.
Now, he started
and you
off.
Tell me.
Now, he started off as a daredevil villain, but he gained traction being a Spider-Man villain. As he was hired to kill Spider-Man, and he just didn't do it. And once we got into the 90s, that's where he gained full tilt traction, where all you saw it was the 90s.
Well, it was the age of the anti-hero. So let me put it like this. Venom in the 80s was a villain. Venom in the 90s was a hero. He did the same shit he did in the 80s. It's just now anti-heroes are cool. Or shit Venom pulled off was, you know, and as a matter of fact, I talked to a comic book store guy, and he was laughing. It's like, okay, so what is Venom doing? He's killing people. Yeah, but it's cool. He's killing the bad guys. That's not cool. That's not what heroes do. But he's an anti-hero. Anti-heroes don't have to kill all the time.
Now, what does this do with the storyline of the Cosmic Ghost Rider, who is Frank Castle? I have no clue.
Maybe it's a different Punisher?
But you get the idea, you know. They now created one hell of a conundrum.
I don't know. This is
not only the Punisher is popular, the Cosmic Ghost Rider. Popular.
You know, I don't get it. I don't, you know, sometimes Marvel. Okay, this is like you said, the 80s and 90s. You know how they make fun of, they say when we see these things making fun of Gen X, and then people go, you know, don't make fun of Gen X. They had the best movies. They had the best music. And we had the best comic book stories. Why? Oh, let's look at the 90s. And I said to somebody, look at what they did with all the covers. Let's look at all the comic books that failed. I guarantee you, for every comic book story that succeeded, there was at least 10 comic book stories that failed miserably. I guarantee you, if you go through the top 100 worst ideas for comic books in the modern age, most of them come through from the 90s.
Okay, this is from ZeroHedge.com, and I found the story. And I'll go straight to the heart of it. This month, though, Marvel officially declared the Punisher persona non grata, eliminating the character as reader knows him. Does he go out in a blaze of glory? Nope. In typical woke fashion, Frank Castle is captured by progressive heroes, chained up, and forced to go through a struggle session in which he's admonished as a murderer and a terrorist. Marvel even brings the Punisher's wife back from the dead, only that she can divorce him and take his money and property, and then inform that his lifelong crusade against the criminal underworld for nothing.
See, that's what
no,
I
hold
find
on.
To be
just one more
bullshit.
Part of the sentence of this paragraph.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The character then dies from apparent suicide, but the story is left open to his return, just as the gun-toting hero people know and love. So it's not even battling. They're just going, boom, you're dead. Doesn't go out with a bang, goes out with a whimper.
Okay, I'm gonna say this. What?
Dead wife. Divorce him. Take the money. Take the house. Take. What the?
But why?
Now, I
this makes no sense at all.
I have a hunch. I just want to check if my hunch is right, because there's another storyline that's ahead of it. And I want to see if this is the case, because there was the storyline that we talked about. Punisher number 12 is going to be the issue.
Okay.
I was just wondering, because they said Kamala Khan, we talked about how Kamala Khan's going to die. I was wondering
yes.
if that was the tie-in. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a Spider-Man villain that kills Kamala Khan.
And I think that's weird. She's being killed off right about the time the Marvels movie is supposed to come out. Like, what?
Yeah, here we go. After becoming an unstoppable god of murder and war, Frank has a resurrected bike, undoes his godlike powers, divorces him, takes all his money. There may be some spoilers. There may be not enough content, but it'll be a great comics. In what?
I don't get it, man.
There's even a panel page. Here we go. I'll quote the wife. That means I finally...
Okay.
It's out of here. That means I can finally finish what I was trying to tell you that day in the park. We're done, Frank. I wanted to... What? They went for a picnic to tell him he wants a divorce.
Wow.
And since technically I'm still dead, I already got it. With some help from Natasha, who's... are we talking Black Widow? I don't know. I've taken the liberty of dividing your assets. I sold your safe houses and all their contents. The real estate alone fetched quite the price. I have half in cash in several duffel bags sitting in my new car. Your half was donated to various charities this morning in the name of our children. That's how you honor your dead family, Frank, not by using them for an excuse for slaughter. I mean, they were already kind of, you know, mixing things up when they had him join the hand. But
right,
what?
Right, right. That's messed up.
They're going to arrive here with the movie MCU Powers. Okay, talking about the Kamala Khan. But, oh, my God.
Yes. Well, she's in the movie. I mean, we know that already, so.
Ribbon Rider and COH, who probably is not listening, asked who died because saw you with the torch and then flew away.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, there were two or three movies, TV series, tie-ins.
Right.
So we know the plot, that the Punisher was popular, and this is just wrong. This is just wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard how that panel was written, that whole page. Go to a picnic with your kids to go to a divorce. Am I? Oh, God.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't do. To me, it was almost canon. They were happily married. Who the hell is the editor?
I don't know. I've just seen that one page. I'm like, they're trying to do a short and sweet get rid of. But it ain't short.
It ain't sweet.
And they haven't committed suicide. I mean, they want to talk about cops and conservatives. What about Vietnam vets, okay? He basically also represented the Vietnam vets. And correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't they also done issues time by time donating to Vietnam veteran charities in the past?
Yes. Quite right. But I don't. It's boggling my mind why they're doing this with this character after so long. And like,
I mean, now if you wanted to, we were talking about an iconic scene with the Punisher.
Right.
Let's go to Civil
right,
War.
Right.
Yeah, I showed you the page in question. Diamondback was bringing in two villains to help Captain America's group. Basically, you know, Goldbug and, what would you say, the Pummeler was the other one?
Something like that, yes.
Okay. They basically saw, hey, if we're going to join a side, we'd rather go with you guys. Now, at this time, Punisher is with Captain America's group. All of a sudden, Goldust and Pummeler gets killed. There he is with two guns, one gun in each hand. He looks at everyone else who has a shock, look of shock, goes, what?
Right.
you see every reader going like, you didn't see that coming?
Come on now. That's just silly.
You know, forget the politics stuff. Like I said, just toss it out the window. We're not talking about that, since they want to argue that it's cops, conservatives, right wing, yada, yada. No. We're talking about someone that started off as a daredevil villain, got his popularity for being a Spider-Man villain, redeemed
it.
Well, let me rephrase that. Has a change of view in the time period from the 80s to the 90s, becomes one of the popular things that, you know, it was either an X or a skull on the comics. Tell me I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. No.
Played a part in the Civil War.
Yeah.
Three movies. The first one's better than the other two. I'm sorry. That's my opinion.
All right.
When you had to, you know, John Travolta as the Matt Batty of that one.
Yes.
I kind of prefer that one. Anyway, yeah. Netflix series.
Is that the one with Diesel as one of the bad guys?
Yeah.
And they're playing music and they're fighting. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. I don't know if they're fighting the whole time. The guy's like mock singing the opera and they're beating the shit out of each other. And finally, so he goes to the wall. I'm sorry. There was something really comical about that whole thing.
It's one of those guilty pleasure movies. I'll admit it. It's a guilty pleasure movie.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. Yes. But compared to the other two, that was the best one. I'm sorry.
And so Marvel made money off of this guy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Several redemption stories.
Two seasons on Netflix? I know, I'm just
Several
reiterating what you
said. What if the Punisher was Captain America? What if the Punisher was possessed by Venom? They were great what ifs. Was the Punisher, Sorcerer Supreme?
Oh, good Lord, I missed that one.
Oh, yeah. It was during the What If Infernos. You know, what if Wolverine became the lord of the vampires? That what if? Yeah.
What if Wolverine became lord of the vampires? I think I read that one.
Yeah. And this was before they thought of, hey, wait a minute, we got to already have a vampire killer. Blade. No, they didn't think about Blade.
Yeah.
They went to the Punisher.
Yeah.
Yeah. They couldn't even give him a proper send-off. You know, the bad guys win. I would have accepted the Kingpin shooting him.
Something like that. Even if he sacrificed himself to save somebody.
To save a kid and a mother.
Yeah.
That would have been the perfect
like
one.
At a picnic at a park. You know, something like that. Some poetic, you know, maybe the same name.
Mm-hmm. But to shame, you know, to go into a full shame mode, bring back the ex-wife, and so I'm divorced. I'll take your money. All your stuff is gone. Oh, God.
That's just...
I'm just waiting to see the YouTube videos, you know, with some of the comic people going like, what the, you know, and we're not talking, you know, those with a political view. We're talking diehard comic book fans, whether it's Democrat, Independent, Republican, the rent is too damn high party. Come on, you have to admit that was a funny one.
Oh, that was.
But, they're all, you know, they're probably all going to go, what the hell? This has gone too far.
I'm going to say this. No, sir. I don't like it.
I mean, the only thing I could possibly see. I mean, this even screws up I can't even say that because it screws up the storyline of the Cosmic Ghost Rider. Because, remember, the Cosmic Ghost Rider started off going to Valhalla, the Hall of Warriors.
Yes.
Suicide is not the way to the Hall of Warriors. Now, if they want to be real creative, okay, meets Mephisto because, you know, if you're going to go down the line here that is suicide, down.
Yeah.
You're going down. And that's how he gets the cosmic ghost power. But, this is just wrong.
Wrong.
I'm going like, okay, it was like, and, you know, how they're killing off Kamala Khan, I'm going like, come on, that was your, out of that whole, generation of trying to bring, you know, new life, new things, you know, in here. It was Kamala Khan. It was Miles Morales. Those two were the ones that really stood out. And Kid Nova.
Yes.
Yeah, I know people relate to Kid Nova as Richard Riker, but he is the real Kid Nova.
And they formed the new champ, well, the Young Champions or the Defenders,
well,
whatever that group was.
The Champions. Champions.
Champions. Champions. Yes.
You know, but you know, to kill off Kamala Khan. Yeah, I'm saying that's a bad thing, and using the living electric Zaz or Zap or Zap. I forget the name. But you know, give Spider-Man the guilt trick, which I think is the reason why, if you remember the new Spider-Man series, everyone hates him. I think this
finally
came to full circle. Now we know why everybody hates him. But, you know, it's like...
Well, of course they do.
You know, now that I've mentioned that part, it's kind of cathartic because it was the Spider, you know, the hiring of the Punisher to kill Spider-Man that made the Punisher popular.
Which I thought was funny, so if you think about it.
Because he wasn't a big hit on Daredevil. He started on Daredevil, but he wasn't a big hit.
Right.
It took to be hired to kill Spider-Man. That's what brought the Punisher up. If you're looking for the comic that Punisher really came to play, that's going to make the money, it's that comic, not the Daredevil one. Daredevil's a close second, but it ain't it.
Well, you know, it's his first appearance. That's the one that everyone wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like I said, it was a Daredevil. But this is Big Show, storyline-wise, was the Spider-Man.
Right.
It's just... So like I said, you know, they bring the wife back, shames him, insults him.
The audacity.
And have him commit suicide. Like I said, I'm not thinking politics.
I think
politics.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not thinking politics. I'm thinking a rich history of Marvel Universe, the Punisher brought us.
Are you sure this isn't another Mephisto event?
Believe me, I will take a cosmic cube. And I point out, I say that because of Captain America who became Hail Hydra. I'll take a cosmic cube. I will take a cosmic cube. Didn't I call a cosmic cube was going to come to play on that one a while back ago?
I believe so.
So I'll take a cosmic cube. Okay, let's see. Out of all the who did Punisher face that really handled the cosmic cube, I want to say Doom. I want to say Doom.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember who hired. I want to say it was J. Jonah Jameson that hired the Punisher. Or Kingpin or J. Jonah. It's one of the two. Who hired Punisher to kill Spider-Man? Let's just get the answer. Oh, the Jackal. The Jackal. I'm sorry. It was the Jackal. Oh, man, I tell you. I already read one of the comments here. You know what you should do in protest? Rent the first buy the first Punisher movie. All of a sudden, a sales spike of that movie. Okay, it was going to be $5 at Walmart, but it's $5 gain. All right. Before we get to the book here, I want to do one more thing that put us in a better
mood. What time? We've been talking about this for almost an hour? Holy shit.
But we talked about WWE with Disney. Then we talked about Punisher. So here it is. The first clip of the Twisted Metal series came out where Sweet Tooth,
did it,
played by Samoa Joe, voiced by Will Arnett, meets Anthony Mackie, a.k.a. John Doe. And in the middle
Aldous has just rent a clown from a shady street for $10.
Yeah. And when I think of Sweet Tooth, I think big, bad, killing machine. Okay, they got Samoa Joe. He's not tall, but he's big and sturdy. I'll take that one. Will Arnett, okay, I'll give it because a few of the games had a very sick sense of humor for Sweet Tooth. I'll take that. To sing the thong song?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I'll give you that. Caught me off guard. You have to see the clip to believe it. He's not, I can see Pogoman is going, I got to see this. It's a two-minute clip.
No. I'm looking for something. This guy is sitting down here, and I want to share the link with him for the show.
They haven't showed the first clip, Alto. They talk about if the Sweet Tooth is going to have the Mecha ice cream truck. The first clip we saw, there was no vehicles. They mentioned that they fight in vehicles. It's Sweet Tooth meeting John Doe in a casino.
Oh, I saw something this morning on, I think it was Instagram. Mm-hmm. Somebody did something, Fast and the Furious, The New Beginning. And it was a spoof on the Fast and the Furious movie. Mm-hmm. When Paul Walker's character meets Vin Diesel's character, you know, the first time they have a street race. And he goes, what's under the hood? Stuff to make my car go. Oh, he goes, what would you bring for the race? A car with unicorns on it. So they look under the hood. He's got
Buffy.
Things with cables and spark plugs. Yeah. But so they do this scene underneath. He's got stuff. He's got a red box with cables attached to other things and some spark plugs. Oh, he's for real. I was like, oh my God.
Well, I will find it funny if all of a sudden you see that original Punisher movie spike in sales. I will laugh my ass off.
I would see if it was on Netflix and it got into the top 10. The daily top 10. That would be funny.
Because I'm sure John Travolta,
any of them.
You know, John Travolta, like I said, played Harold Saint.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That was the other move, right? One of them is right. Harold Saint. Right.
He would not mind recouping some extra money from that movie, considering that at the time being it was a bomb. I'm sure Kevin
Which is
Nash
funny because I really.
I'm sure Kevin Nash would like the money.
Yes, because That's right.
Highlander wouldn't mind.
Highlander? He wasn't in that movie.
Yeah, he was.
No,
he was
the
Punisher.
No, he wasn't. That was Jane Foster.
No, hold on. Wait, let's find out. Punisher.
I'm looking
movie.
Up. I'm looking it up. That wasn't him.
1989 movie.
Wait, the 1989
movie? No, not that movie. Not that movie. 1999
was Dolph Lundgren. 2008 was Punisher Warzone, Ray Stevenson. 2017, I'm sorry, John Bernthal, Amber Rose. Hold on. Who? Okay, wait, this is the wrong move. No, 2017 was a Punisher TV
series.
Okay,
it is
I'm
Thomas
sorry.
Jane. I'm sorry, 2004.
Thomas Jane. I mean, what did I say, Jane Foster? I said Jane Foster. I'm like, wait, that's not Thomas Jane.
Jane
that would be an interesting twist.
Hold on. I'm totally out of it today, guys. I'm totally out of it. I got this injection in my neck for pain blocks on Friday, and there's anesthesia. And the funny thing is, like, Saturday, it really didn't bother me until Saturday night. And then I went to visit some friends. I'm sorry. Saturday day, it bothered me. Sunday, I was able to block it out. I went to visit some friends. And his family, we hung out. I had dinner with them Saturday night. Yesterday, it was okay. I had some things to do. I went down to the beach with my brother-in-law. They were supposed to be this band. They were playing, like, cover bands of 70s and 80s music. More early 70s, late 60s. The funny thing about it was the, if you know the area I live in, it's the crowd. Hold on. It's the crowd.
Oh, there actually is a sequel.
What?
It's
the
a
Punisher,
short
what?
Film.
The Punisher.
It's a short film with Thomas Jane. The Punisher, Dirty Laundry.
Really?
It's a short
oh,
film.
Shit.
So they actually did.
Oh, I see it.
I was thinking
Castle staying in a bad
film.
Neighborhood where he encounters a gang that terrorizes its residents.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's 10 minutes. But where can I see it? Oh, Ron Perlman's in it.
I'll say look at YouTube.
Ron Perlman plays Big Mike. Sammy Rotibi plays Goldtooth. Jack Oldenburg plays the doorman. There's a hooker. Yeah, Brandi Steger plays the girl. Okay.
All right.
So I guess the plot. Let's see. Did it get any reviews? Wow. 8.0 out of 10 for this short movie. And it's a very good follow-up for fans only. Huh? Okay. Hold on.
In other words, if you like
Jack
the
Daniels,
Thomas Jane original.
No, hold on. Jack Daniels is not flammable. Okay. Feeds into our anger. One mean hangover. Gets the job done. These are the titles of the top four reviews. I guess Jack Daniels is involved, and I could have sworn. I could have sworn. Oh, the premiere at Comic-Con, at San Diego Comic-Con 12, 2012.
Yeah, you know, Thomas Jane actually did like playing the Punisher.
Yeah. They should have done more, because I enjoyed that movie.
Needless,
I thought that was a really
he's not going to play it anymore, unless Punisher goes independent. Now, there's an interesting thought. It happened to Rob. Mm-hmm. It happened to Micronaut.
Hold on. It's been released. It's only been released on YouTube, and I found out why. It infringes on Punisher's copyright and uses music from The Dark Knight.
All right, so it's on YouTube if you want
wow.
to take a look.
Ready for this? Yeah, hold on. After you watch this, all three Marvel films of The Punisher look lame. What is this, an Academy Award short? Well, except for the music. Jesus Christ. Everybody's given... Wow, 10 out of 10. 10 minutes nails it when hours and seasons never could. Oh, shit. Oh, wait. 5 out of 10, The Punisher Dirty Laundry. I'd have preferred an actual sequel. Did anyone ever else? Did anyone else even realize this existed? It flew through thoroughly under my radar.
Hey.
10 out of 10. By far the best the Punisher has been. The Punisher movie I wish we got earlier. That's
well,
funny.
It is that time. Oh, God.
What?
It's time for the tone to come from the tomb and take a look at your guys.
Oh, good Lord. They're wearing Punisher t-shirts with garbage bags that are supposed to be trench coats, and they're carrying Pung ball guns and water pistols.
And
what
the black armband. The black armband.
And the black armbands, yes. And I'll tell, I sent you a message on Discord earlier. I don't know if you got it. Alto looks like he's ready to play D&D. With a sword and, of course, in true anime, and, of course, in true anime style, a sword that's three times his size. So, All right. I have. Oh, good Lord. I saw the first one. All right. I have the tome from the tomb. I said that correctly. Now, there have been many, many villains from the annals. Yeah, be careful with that word. Superherodom, Golden Age, Silver Age, Modern Age. But if one of your arch nemesis, oh my God, Alto's packing heat with twin super soakers. if one of your arch nemesis is from this book. Oh, Dawn Radio Gaming, we do? Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know. I'm a Tothari. If you have one of these, you need an upgrade seriously, or you're not taken seriously as a hero. These are oddball criminals from comic book history, for these are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. We start off with the Golden Age, as always. Okay, the first one is an enemy of the Hangman.
And you're off City of... Oh, no, you're still there. Never mind. I see Pogo Spring.
Pogo Spring is there, and she's like, I'm here. I'm fine.
And behind us is Mad Slasher.
Okay, you want to do roll call first? Yes.
Yeah.
It's us, Pogo Spring, and Mad Slasher has joined us. I don't know if he's listening. I gave the link. You know what? I haven't checked. I've been out of the chat for a while. Oh, George Mosley has joined it. The Punisher's not dead. It's weirder than that. He isn't weird. Oh, you said that before, right?
Yeah. Well,
and
Mad Slasher,
yeah. Mad Slasher has joined us in the chat. Hello, Mad Slasher. Welcome to the chat. He has joined the chat room. Okay. Hello. Welcome, everybody, to the chat room. Sorry about that. I won't be typing, but I can hear
you.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to remember Weird World. And... it's not
was that
really
arcade? Was that arcades or was that Arcade World?
That's Murder World.
Oh, it's Murder World. I knew something. All right. Anyway, joining us over here in the WCOC studios of Champions Online, we have myself, Pokemon, Mad Viking, Alan and the Teddy Sins, Clarence, Mr. Nom Nom, My Apocalypse Pony. And also Mark 7 V2, armed with twin super soaker twin super soaker guns, and they just disappeared. Okay, now back to the reading. Sorry, long day. Oh, long weekend. Okay, so. This is what's funny about this when I get to the villain name. This is an enemy of the Hangman, created by Bill Woolfolk and Harry Lucy. Debuted in Pep Comics number 30, MLJ Comics, August 1942. All right. Favorite kind of fairy tale? Grimm. This little arrow will stop your worries. The villain name... strikes fear in the heart of everybody, I tell you. None other than Mother Goose. Yes. Mother Goose is the villain. The Hangman is the hero.
Why not?
Okay. I know. It was the golden age, a more pure and innocent time for comic books. Nursery rhymes and fairy tales are fertile ground for creating truly terrifying villains. These stories often involve murder, theft, kidnapping, dismemberment, wicked stepmothers, and evil spirits. All sorts of prime material for goons and creeps. Take, for example, Mother Goose, a frightening fairy tale-inspired killer who makes short work of three brothers in a single night. The Dixon siblings, Simon, Robin, and a third referred to only as the Englishman, are estranged from one another as well as from their mother. However, nursery rhyme-inspired notes draw the siblings to the ancestral home. Simon interrupts the reunion dinner by clutching his throat in terror. The pie, he cries, I've been poisoned. A few hours after his simple brother Simon's fatal pie poisoning, simple Simon, Robin is also killed by a nursery rhyme device, an arrow, Cock Robin style. Besides their murders, their brothers have something else in common. Looming over their corpses is the cackling figure of Mother Goose. Okay, so one brother has a Cock Robin arrow in his throat. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
I'm just bringing that up. Waiting for rain to show up. A few hours after his... Okay. Working under a peaked cap, wearing bedraggled robes and resembling a haggard witch, Mother Goose claims responsibility for the crimes. As her signature, she amends the notes that drew the brothers together. Simple Simon died of poison, sitting in his chair. She adds to Simon's letter, to Robin's, she appends, said Mother Goose, with my little arrow, I killed Cock Robin. Can't make this up. She goes on to pursue the Englishman to a nearby mill, intending to grind his bones for bread, as in the tale of Jack and the Beanstalk, which is, strictly speaking, out of her rhyme-oriented purview. But before she can carry out her dastardly deed, the grim crime fighter called the Hangman stops her and reveals her true identity. She turns out to be none other than John Dixon, the uncle of the three bickering boys. As he sees it, his sister, their mother, nursed these scoundrels to manhood and crooned them to sleep with nursery rhymes. But, he muses bitterly, they left her when she needed them most. So, Dixon swore on his sister's deathbed to murder her heartless sons. Pursued by the Hangman and seeing no way to avoid capture, Mother Goose hastily swallows poison and dies. Her demise is a shame because the nepoticidal uncle will never have the chance to become the version of the character depicted on the story's introductory page. That Mother Goose is the knife-wielding leader of a gang of weird villains, which includes an egg-headed Humpty Dumpty, a top-coated bedecked Jack Sprat, and a hissing goose. And there you have it from Mother Goose.
And half of that villain's lore will go to Batman, egghead.
That's right. That's right. Oh, you're right. You're right. Egghead, a top coat bedecked Jack Sprat, and a hissing goose. I don't know. But.
Well, for the other one, I would say the Mad Hatter.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that. Okay. On to our next entry in the Golden Age. Okay. This one is an enemy of Captain Marvel Jr., created by Otto Binder, hear that name again, and Kurt Schaffenberger. Debuted in Captain Marvel Jr. number 62, Fawcett Comics, June 1948. Personal style, the wet look. The quote, Mr. Hydro has a bag of tricks that'll make him dizzy. Obviously, the villain name... Mr. Hydro. Mr. Hydro was billed as the man made of water. But then again, aren't we all? In any case, this fluid felon is the byproduct of the work of a well-meaning inventor. Professor Potter has developed four terrible devices, a death ray pistol, a disintegrator capable of dissolving all matter, a gold maker machine, and something called a fluidizer, which he describes as a chemical which can alter the body cells that they become fluid at will. Not all scientists have to create terrible weapons, Doc. Maybe try building something harmless? Worried about their use by untrustworthy types, Potter keeps his creations under strict lock and key. Naturally, a former lab assistant steals the fluidizer. Worse, he intends to steal the other inventions too. Soon, a handful of superheroes change their physical form to liquid, often in dramatic fashion. Waves, water spouts, torrents, and other dynamic displays of crime busting, H2O tend to populate the aquatic hero's arsenal of tricks. But Mr. Hydro, a scurrilous thief and a crook of the worst kind, keeps his transformations down and dirty. He collects himself in a gutter running down the side of a street, disappears down a rain spout, and manifests as both a leaky roof and a puddle oozing through the cracked foundation of a building. Ultimately, Mr. Hydro's repeated attempts to rob Potter attract the attention of newsstand operator Freddie Freeman, a.k.a. the world's mightiest boy, Captain Marvel Jr. But the blue-bedecked crime buster has a problem. His mightiest punch only dissolves Hydro into a spray of water, from which the larcenous liquid painlessly reassembles himself. But Mr. Hydro does have one weakness, and it happens to be the same as his strength. Yes, water is one thing that can destroy him. Even the sight of a gentle murmuring brook paralyzes Mr. Hydro with dread. In the end, Captain Marvel Jr. threatens the wet bandit with a spray gun full of the otherwise innocuous liquid. As Mr. Hydro prepares to abscond down a funnel, Junior warns him, "If you go down that funnel, I'll pour water after you." He's a little kid. I don't know. Checkmate! Mr. Hydro is forced to drink the fluidizer antidote, and Professor Potter decides to smash his deadly inventions, setting everything right once again, except for one thing. Professor Potter still has a leaky roof in his concrete vault. Okay. Hold on. Hold on now. So you mean to tell me, first of all, now we got a cursed doll on the table here in the studio. Hold on. He's made of water, and his weakness is water? Huh? How? Who? What?
I'm so glad Nickelodeon get a hand on this, because you know what would have happened. And now we will defeat Mr. Hydro. My SpongeBob.
I know, right? Like,
and then, Professor Potter? Oh,
is his first name Harry? Is it Harry grown up?
Yeah.
Is it his father before he... Oh, everybody clap your hands. I'm the potions professor. But do they ask me to help? No. They ask Professor Potter. Joy.
Oh, gosh.
I know, we were thinking the same thing. All right, we have one from the Silver Age. Okay. But I'm noticing that when we do, like, more than one Golden Age, we're seeing the same guys coming up with these villains. And it's like, man, all these villains, and like, damn, can you come up with something good? Something? Anything? Anyway. All right. Ooh, this is an enemy of Daredevil, Spider-Man, others. Created by Stan Lee and Wally Wood. Debuted in Daredevil, Volume 1, number 8, the Wally Wood, number 8, Marvel Comics, June 1965. Ever been too short to ride a roller coaster? This villain, never. Okay. Oh, God. Well, in the quote, you'll know who it is. The quote, no ordinary human can cope with the power of Stiltman. The villain?
Okay, now we're talking classic.
That's right, a classic villain for the ages. And this is probably his first appearance, I hope. Yes, it's his first appearance. Oh, no, it's not. Well, the cover isn't. It's from Daredevil number 48. All right, but for some villains, standing tall means having farther to fall. The stupefying Stiltman has had a consistent presence in the Marvel Comics universe. Okay, it just started thundering outside, so if you lose me on this one, that's why. Marvel Comics universe since its debut in the mid-1960s. But increasingly, he's been treated as a bit of an easy target. On some level, you can't blame the writers and editors who poke fun at Stiltman. After all, his primary superpower is that he has very, very long legs. Nonetheless, the character started with potential. Wilbur Day is less than talented as an inventor, but pretty good at swiping engineering marvels from greater minds. Grabbing a parcel of industrial inventions from his one-time employer, he dons a bulletproof costume and slips to a pair of telescoping legs to launch his career in crime. Armed with smoke and sleep grenades, as well as the familiar kind that merely blow things up, Stiltman takes his career to dizzying heights as he robs helicopters and rooftop garden parties. These are untapped markets. He's a genius. Unfortunately, one of the devices he swipes is an experimental molecular condenser, the most valuable weapon on Earth. The gadget causes whatever it's focused on to fade away to nothingness. One of the first weapon targets, Stiltman. Within moments, he's shrunk out of existence. Defying his apparent demise, Stiltman strides back into action, taking on everyone from his original opponent, Daredevil, to such heroes as Black Goliath, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, and Spider-Man. His reputation for perennially coming up short makes him a frequent punchline. His most unfortunate moment may have been when his armor was stolen by Turk, a low-ranking bumbler in the Kingpin's criminal organization. Being one up by the least competent individual in New York's underworld has to sting. Later in his career, S-Man was reduced to battling other lesser supervillains over a supposed fortune in kitchen grease, a scheme he once again fumbled, and then briefly signing up as a superhero. Stiltman crosses paths with the Punisher. Here we go, the Punisher Knight. A violent anti-hero. That's right, a violent anti-hero known for using lethal force. Whether because of cross wires or past deeds, the Punisher puts an end to the Stiltman's career. Aw. Permanently. Aw. Other villains have since been inspired by the original Stiltman's example, whatever that may be. One prominent inheritor is... Lady Stiltman. Get the name right. Lady Stiltman. Perhaps she can elevate the name to the high honor of top-tier villainy. Hey, Lady Stiltman, not Stilt Lady. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Shame on you.
All they need are the writers of Justice League 90s, where Maxwell Lord was in charge, and you would have had a whole bunch of bwahahas. That's all they need. That's missing.
I'll give you one now. Bwahaha. And Curse Doll has joined us here. I don't know if I said that before, but we have a Curse Doll on the table.
Mm-hmm.
We have an Alan who's a teddy bear. His toys, his friend Teddyson's a Curse Doll. My Apocalypse Pony, which is the lost My Little Pony figure, and Alto Mark 7 V2. Would you like to comment on this conclave of gathering? This gathering conclave?
We have good listeners, I'll say that. We have good listeners.
I know. That's right, we do. I have nothing bad to say about any of them.
At least we got the Punisher in a better tribute than what Marvel's about to do.
That's just ridiculous. I'm sorry. Punisher, Frank Castle, you deserve better.
So they're putting it, according to what I'm reading, Weird World, that's where they're going to put him in. And it's a dimension of magic. Okay, now they're trying to maybe find a twist so that he can get to be Cosmic Ghost Rider.
That's the only hope.
But you know who will save him?
Doctor Strange. No?
I don't know.
That's just weird.
I want to say Man-Thing is tied into that area. So we are going into you know, that category. So it's a possibility.
Right.
Got this big sour taste in my mouth after. I mean, this is just blatant.
Wow. I just read My Apocalypse Pony's super group he's in. Friendship is magic, and magic is heresy. Okay, what did Kurstall change into now? Does Kurstall kind of look like an Annabelle right now?
I'll give it that.
See, Chucky, I could deal with. Annabelle, I'm not so sure about. You know, at least Chucky's got a personality. He talks. Annabelle just stares at you. And then all kinds of creepy shit happens. That's all I'm saying. That's all. Just weird shit happens with Annabelle. I've seen the Annabelle movie. Oh! What was the movie? It's in that Insidious or Cursed. I can't remember. It's in the Annabelle universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Devil Made Me Do It or something like that, right? And they're trying to convince a judge to defend this kid that there's no such thing as supernaturalness and that. Why don't you come over for dinner tonight? It's the investigators that have been doing like these type of movies, like they did two movies, and they're going, Insidious, I think, and they're going, well, why don't you come over for dinner tonight? We'll let you meet Annabelle. Right? Next scene, she's in court with them defending the kid. And see, that's great storytelling in the movie, because you could just imagine what happened at dinner and when she went to meet Annabelle. Because, believe it or not, it's a true story. They have, the way their house is, they have a den that's locked up, and they keep supernatural artifacts they find in there. Annabelle, seriously, is in a glass case, and every week or 2 weeks, they have a priest come in, and they switch the Psalms or the pages from the Bible. They paste it onto the glass, the outside of the glass. And they keep switching the pages every couple of weeks, every week or two. And there's all kinds of weird stuff down there, like supernatural, crazy stuff. So,
all right, well, that was a very ranting show tonight.
I know, that makes it very quick, so. I'm just trying to find. Oh, okay. Okay, so Annabelle is prequel to the film The Conjuring, The Conjuring Universe. I'm sorry. I'm trying to see what movies. All right, so it's Conjuring, Conjuring 2, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. That's that's a great scene. It's just a funny, like, really quick, why don't you come over and have dinner with us? The next scene. It's funny. If you haven't seen it, it also includes Annabelle, Annabelle Creation, Annabelle Comes Home. The Nun, which is a prequel.
I just thought about this.
The Nun 2, yes.
They're bringing back the 2099 series. There is a Punisher in the 2099 series. The old Guardians of the Galaxy. There is a planet that is full of Punishers.
Really?
Yeah. Whoever is in charge of doing the storylines, they have not done their history.
That's what I mean. It's like whoever's the editor in charge of Marvel, they haven't done. They used to have somebody in charge of continuity there. And this is what, like I said, really quickly, this is what people got mad about with DC with the New 52. Okay, DC's been around at this point for 75 years with the New 52. You just crapped all over it. You don't give a shit. You just wiped out all 75 years of history with the New 52. Except, I think, for, like, Batman, the sales went down across the board.
Pretty much.
Because Batman was well-written. I read a couple things eventually. It's like, all right, that's pretty cool. But outside of that, nothing worth reading from New 52. Mm-hmm. Then you brought it back. DC Rebirth. But what really screwed things up, the mini Doomsday Clock, it took forever to come out. I mean, they stopped using DC Rebirth on to DC Universe. And there were still five issues of Doomsday Clock to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So, what the hell's going on here?
And let's see, George Mosley goes, "A Weird World first appears in Marvel Adult Noir magazine, Epic." Wouldn't it be absolutely hilarious if Weird World, I don't know if they're going to do a Weird World series again, because it was, from what I see, it was a six-issue thing. But
it's possible. They could do like a Weird World miniseries just for Frank Castle to bring him back.
And that spikes through the roof in sales.
That would be. But we have 90 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Mad Viking for co-hosting with me. You guys rock. Without you guys, it would just be me and Mad Viking talking amongst ourselves about
ranting.
Things we talked to you guys about. Ranting. Yes, we ranted earlier today. I'm going to say go see the new Spider-Man, Spider-Verse movie. I'm sorry, I'm out of it. I forget what it was. It was a great movie. I saw it today. It's long, but it's very good. I'll give more of a review next week when we're not ranting so much. A spoiler-free review next week. To all you fathers or father figures out there, happy Father's Day for Sunday. Go watch those superhero movies, superhero TV shows, read those comic books, read those novels or genre-related or whatever you want to read. Just do that. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking?
Say goodnight, Frank.
Good night, Frank. We'll miss you. And for all those Dawn Radio people, I want to have a meeting this week because Dawn Con 8 is just over a month away, and we got to organize. 10 seconds left. Stay tuned for the Greatest Generation podcast on DawnRadio.org. Embrace the dawn. How was that?
Matt?
Got it all in?
I think so.
All right, everybody. Have a good night and enjoy your week. We'll see you next week. Stay super. Let me end the show. All right. You enjoy yourself. Enjoy the Greatest Generation podcast.
All right. I will talk to you later.
Okay.